I greet you this day in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at the book of Genesis, and we're asking the question, what is God teaching us about himself in the book of Genesis? And today we're on Genesis chapter 4, which is God's dealings with Cain, and there are a number of really important lessons about how God works. And lessons that you and I need to hear and that we need to share with others. Let's ask for God's help, and then we'll look at his word. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, your only unique Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man, we come to you and ask your help so that we may understand your word. And that understanding it, we may live in the light of its truth so that we may reflect you and honor you and encourage others to know you in truth. May our lives shine for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Genesis chapter 4 starts off, and the first thing is really about Adam and Eve. And it's a very interesting point because Adam and Eve had sinned greatly against God with no reason to doubt him. They had freely sinned and they had been punished and driven out of the garden. What do we see though? Although in verse 24 of chapter 3 it says God drove man out of the garden and placed the cherubim and the flaming sword there. No way back to the tree of life. And yet, the next verse, chapter 4, verse 1, and remember the verse numbers and the chapter divisions are not inspired. They're just there for helpful reference. It says there, verse 1, now Adam knew his wife Eve, which is saying that he slept with her, he had sex with her, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And chapter 4 ends, second last verse, she has another child, and she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. So what we're seeing is that although they were punished by God, and God upheld his justice and his word, nevertheless, God was gracious to them. He didn't banish them and exclude them from himself forever. And it's evident that Eve names her children in faith. So it looks like they have come back to the Lord. There's been repentance. The text doesn't tell us, but it suggests in verse 1 and verse 25 that they are walking with God again. So she sees her children as gifts from God, which is a lovely thing. That is very encouraging, because sometimes if you sin greatly, you wonder, can God really forgive me? Well, it seems like he has done that here. Now, what happens, verse 2, and now we come to the key human figure in chapter 4. And again, she bore his brother Abel, so she's born Cain, that's in verse 1, and now Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. Okay, verse 3, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. In verse 4, Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. So they brought offerings to the Lord. We're not told that God told them to do it. So there's a question and there's no answer here. We know that later in Exodus, second half of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we read about sacrifices for sin, etc. But at this point, we don't know whether the Lord had said something to them or whether just out of their hearts, in gratitude to God, or the parents said, you know, you need to make offerings to God. You can't just come to God. Well, it's interesting, they bring offerings. They don't just come into his presence. They recognize that something needs to happen for them to be acceptable to God. So they make their offerings. And the end of verse 4 says, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. Now we don't know, was it that the one was an animal offering, the animal died, and the other one was a grain offering, and that's the one that wasn't acceptable. Now, one of the ways to test something in the Bible is how much does the Bible actually tell us about this? All we know is that these two brothers brought offerings, and Abel and his offerings the Lord regarded, but Cain and his offerings he had no regard for. Now, notice that the names are mentioned first. God looked at Cain's offering and he had no regard for him or his offering. So I'm not going to go further and think of, well, you know, was this sacrifice, the animal one, better because the later sacrificial system says there has to be the death of the animal and the blood poured out as a sacrifice for sin. I'm not going to go down that road. All I'm saying is the text tells us two offerings, Cain and his offering, the Lord did not regard. Now look at the response, because now you start to see what Cain is like. So just looking at the Bible text. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. Now I suggest that's the wrong response in Cain. What would the obvious thing to do be to do? If you're bringing a sacrifice, even if it's a free will offering, your parents have said, you know, we're not perfect people, we need to bring an offering to God. So they bring them. And Cain's is not accepted. Don't you think he should have said, Lord, why? Well, this is what the Lord says to him. Why are you angry? In other words, you should not be angry. And then he says, why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do well, will you not be accepted? In other words, if you do what is good in my eyes, says the Lord, you'll be accepted. Now that means Cain had to know. So God had told them. His heart was wrong, and he was just doing it because he was doing what the letter of doing what he'd been told to do, but his heart wasn't in it. Now the Lord, notice what we learn about the Lord here, is that the Lord in kindness doesn't just judge him for his sinful attitude. He comes to him and says, he counsels him. Do the right thing and you'll be accepted. He's not saying, oh no, you've sinned. I don't regard you. Get out of my sight. God doesn't work that way. God cares for sinners. Later, Jesus will tell us, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God loves the sinful world. And here we are seeing Adam and Eve, the result of their sin, showing itself first in Cain, later in others in the chapter. And so the Lord counsels him. Do well, is what he's saying. You'll be accepted. I'm assuring you, you'll be accepted. So that was actually encouraging him. Yeah, he had a second chance. What does he do with it? Well, the Lord's not finished. There's another warning that goes with this. If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. You see, it's like he's saying sin is like a lion or a mad dog that wants to jump through and get hold of you and kill you. If you do not do well, the Lord warns him, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. So what he's teaching him is that sin is dangerous and threatening and not good for people. And the way to respond to it is not to play with it or go halfway or see how far you can go with it. No, you must rule. You must take a strong stand against the sin. So the Lord is very gracious to him. He's done the wrong thing. He's been rejected. The brother's been accepted. Him and his sacrifice. He's angry, which is very closely linked with pride. How can I be rejected? How can my offering be better? Well, God says you haven't done the right thing. So you've done your own thing. Our own thing never is right before God. The only way to go, as the prophet Samuel says, to obey is better than sacrifice. As the Lord Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. Obey God's word. We'll see later, that's what Noah did again and again and again. So what God has done in these early chapters is we're seeing examples of people who had God's word. They knew what to do and they didn't do it. Some did, Noah did, and it went well with him. But Adam and Eve and Cain, they didn't. And what happened was disaster. Now we need to just pause a moment and just think about this a little bit. You know, God doesn't warn everybody about all the results of their sins. If they sin, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Because it is enough that if God speaks, we should believe him and obey him. That's it. Now what happens from here later? Cain is going to whine like a baby. Like a little child. Oh no, my punishment's too much. But God told him. And we can do that. When we sin and we treat God's word casually and carelessly, we sin and then we find out what happens afterwards. You know, somebody said if you have sex outside of marriage and you get someone pregnant, you can confess your sin and God will forgive you. But you're still pregnant. The results, the consequences do not go away. Sometimes they go away. Many times they do not. So God has warned him. We're learning so much about God. God counsels us, and the Bible is full of God's counsel. Proverbs says there is a way that seems right to a person, but the end thereof is death. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He's telling us, what is the way to God? Through faith in Christ. Repentance of sin and faith in Christ. So the Lord finishes here, and then like with Adam and Eve, after he'd spoken to them, he let them go. Don't think, as one pastor who committed adultery at the age of 70, that I knew. He said, I don't know why the Lord allowed this. I thought, haven't you read the Bible? The Lord doesn't go around stopping us from doing stupid and sinful things. Occasionally he might, but you can't rely on that. You can't just say, well, if God doesn't stop me, I'll just take it that this is okay. That is a sinful way to think. So God warned him graciously. Assured him that if he did the right thing, he would be accepted. But you know, sin blinds us to how evil sin is. And sin blinds us as it blinded Adam and Eve when they sinned. They didn't think, well, if we do this, God's going to be coming. What are we going to do when he comes again? Well, they didn't think about that because sin blinds our spiritual sight. So what happened is, verse 8, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. When they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. So we learn that he disregarded, like his parents, Adam and Eve, in Genesis 3, he disregarded what God said. He didn't learn from his parents' example. And every time you and I sin, we're not learning from Scripture and from the consequences of sin. Sin is strong. A powerful thing in our hearts. And we are weak and frail. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation. Lord, have mercy. Remember, I'm weak. Lead me away from temptation. And deliver us from evil, or the evil one, Satan. Teaches us to pray that. It's a major part of the prayer. So he kills him. Now notice how the Lord now comes to him again. Here is God seeking the sinner. Isn't it gracious of God? We learn God's amazing grace. Where is your brother Abel? And shockingly, he said, straight out lie to God. I do not know, and am I my brother's keeper? Now you see how hardened he is by sin. When we don't listen to God, it's unlikely that he's going to stop us sinning. He's going to let us go ahead. Like with Adam and Eve, he wants glad obedience. He wants us to trust him and believe him. When we turn our back on him, we are saying God is not wise. God is not truthful. He is not trustworthy. He doesn't care about me. I know better. We never know better. Where's your brother? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you notice this. I'm sure that when Adam and Eve ate the fruit and when Cain killed his brother, none of them looked around and saw God near them or felt God's presence with them. They just acted because that's what sin does, blinds us to God. But God sees everything. We're going to see that again and again and again in these chapters. God saw what the serpent did. God saw what Eve did. God saw what Adam did. God saw what Cain did. God saw what Lamech later did. God saw in chapter 6 the sins of the human race, and he says a terrible thing about them, about us. So here it is. God has seen this. Your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. It is an evil thing to shed innocent blood. Self-defense is one thing, but to shed innocent blood, it says here, the ground has opened up to receive your brother's blood. When you work the ground, notice there's an extra curse on Cain. It shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and wanderer on the earth. So you notice here again, God punishes quickly. He doesn't always punish quickly, but with Adam and Eve and Cain, it's quick. I think it's because it was the beginning of the human race and God was wanting to establish the fact that sin brings judgment. It is true that many people's sins are hidden and they'll only come out on the day of judgment. 1 Timothy teaches that. But it's interesting that Cain's view of God is that God's being too hard with him. You see the stupidity of human nature here affected by sin. We don't listen to God. We don't do what he says. We then don't repent and obey him. We then go and sin. And when judgment comes, we say, oh, God doesn't care about me. Well, the Bible says the way of the sinner is hard. Yep, we do make it hard. My punishment, Cain says, is greater than I can bear. Behold, you've driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. Well, he didn't value God's face at all earlier. In fact, just the opposite. So what he's doing is he's whining because he doesn't like the fact that he's being punished. You know, you and I don't like being punished for our sins. But we still sin, don't we? Yeah, we do. And so that is a sad thing. What amazes me, though, Cain then whines more and he says, I'll be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. You know, when I read that, I thought, well, that sounds like justice. If he kills your brother, someone will find you and kill you. That's just punishment. What amazed me is the Lord's mercy. Oh, verse 15, then the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, we don't know what it was, lest any should find him and kill him. Wow. But, verse 16, then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So God still sent him out, drove him away from there. So God combines justice and mercy. If you and I sin, will God combine justice and mercy? You can't rely, you can't presume on God's mercy. You can't say, oh, well, if I sin, you know, I'm sure God will be merciful to me. That is not the way to go. The way to go is not to be like Cain. It is to listen to God. When we sin, to truly repent, come back and not excuse ourselves and not whine when we get punished. So Cain went off and had a son, Enoch, and then named the city Enoch and all the rest. And the rest is of the chapter up to verse 22. It's just the various people were born except for one telling thing. And there was, verse 19, and Lamech took two wives. Now, you will look anywhere you like in the Bible. You never see God tell a man to marry two women or a woman to marry two men. Never. I know cultures practice it. And in my own country, traditionally, there are cultures, groups that have done this. But God never says, Genesis chapter 2, for this cause a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, one man, one woman in marriage. When we get to Jesus 2,000 years later, he affirms that same pattern, one man, one woman. Lamech took two wives. It's the only thing mentioned here other than built a city, one looked after, dwelt in tents, had livestock. Then we learn a bit more about Lamech. Verse 23, and what we're seeing here in the choosing of two wives, which is not God's will, we take our standard from the Bible, not culture. What we see is that Lamech, what we're seeing is the results of sin. They spread, and yet God is still active in the world. What are we learning about God? We learn that God is gracious. When we get to chapter 6, 7, and 8, we're going to see the flood. God will punish sin, but even there is grace. The thing about God's grace is you can't presume upon it. You must use it when you have the opportunity. Don't say to yourself, oh, I'm going to do this, and I know I shouldn't, but you know, later, when I'm finished and when I'm in this time in the future, then I'll repent. Well, number one, you don't know if you're going to make that day, if God's going to let you live that long. And your heart may have hardened even further from playing with sin and defying God and turning your back on him. And your heart may be so hard that you'll never come back to God. And you can't think that you know the future. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Go read Hebrews chapters 3, 4, 5. Today is the day of salvation. Repent today. Don't leave it for tomorrow. Anyway, what happens in 23 and 24 is Lamech boasts about killing a younger man. Listen, my wives. I've killed a man for wounding me. So he's overreacted. The man wounded him, he responded by slaying him, a young man for striking me. Now, striking could be with a hand or with a weapon. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, Lamech's revenge is 77-fold. So he's boasting. So we're seeing the spread of evil. Now, how does God respond to that? Well, the next verse says, Adam knew his wife again. She bore a son. She named him Seth, for she said, God appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born, verse 26, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. So it's amazing that although there's real sin and it's going on, there's this, God is at work. And people, although some are sinning freely, others are calling on the name of the Lord. God is at work. God has never given up on a sinful world. And later, of course, he'll send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the supreme offering for our sins. So what do you learn here? We learn that God counsels. We need to listen to him. God is gracious. We can tell people, no matter what sin you've done, if you truly repent and turn to Christ, you will be forgiven. Although the consequences or some of the consequences of your sin may remain. And the way of the sinner is hard. The way to go ahead, listen to God. Obey God. Keep his word. That is the way to go. If we fall and fail and sin, we can come back. Cain talks to God. Notice you'll remember that he never repents. And yet, if at any point he had repented and said, Lord, I didn't listen to you. I'm an unworthy sinner. Have mercy on me. God would have forgiven him, but he didn't. Sin had hardened him to such a point. Nevertheless, the chapter ends with God dealing with people. I want to pick up one thing in chapter 5. I'm putting 4 and 5 together. Most of it is the years. I'm not going to go into that. We'll deal with that when we put a commentary on Genesis on our website. Our website is COMS4. So that's all one word, COMS4, the number, dot, lowercase Africa. So only the C is a capital. COMS4.Africa, all lowercase. And that will take you to the website, and there's a whole pile of material that you can help yourself to. The one thing in chapter 5 was this amazing verse, verse 24, Enoch walked with God. First reference. Later we're going to be told Noah walked with God. And that for me is amazing. It's the only statement like that in the whole chapter. All these people with their many years. And Enoch walked with God. You know, to walk with God's a deliberate thing. It's like I ask my wife, say, come, let's go for a walk. And we walk together. We're both doing the walk. We're going somewhere. We've got a goal in mind. We want to, for us, we walk down to a nature reserve near our home. It's a kilometer, just over a kilometer away. So we're going there. We know where we're going. We talk. We have fellowship together. And that's the idea. He's doing that with God. He is sharing his life with God. It's not just an afternoon stroll. It's a whole life shared with God. And you know the great thing is that God wants us to walk with him. Share our lives with him. Seek to honor him in everything. Pray about all we do, the spiritual things and the not spiritual things, the ordinary choices you've got to make at work, at school, at home, wherever you are. Commit your ways to the Lord, says the Psalms and the Proverbs, and he will direct your paths. That's what Enoch was doing. He's the only guy who this is said of. He must have been a really godly man. Wasn't perfect. There aren't any perfect people other than Jesus when he walked on the earth. But he walked with God. Not he had a walk with God, but he walked. That was his life. He was walking with God. What a wonderful thing. God wants us to walk with him. God is more interested in us sharing our lives with him and seeking to honor him and seek his guidance, then we are willing to ask him to help us. What a sad thing. But Enoch walked with God and was the only other person than Elijah, where it says he didn't die. He was not, for God took him. The day came when they looked for Enoch, and he wasn't there. And he hadn't died. No body. What happened? He was taken directly to heaven. Directly into the presence of God. Oh, wonderful. Isn't that great? We went and bought vegetables today. And I said to the lady at the till in the shop, "Good morning, how are you?" And so she said, "No, I'm fine. How are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm on my way to heaven, and as soon as I die, I will see God face to face. I can't wait." Can you say that? You can if you walk daily with him. May the Lord press what we have learned, the lessons that we have learned together from Genesis chapter 4 and 5 on our hearts. God willing, I will next put on, it will be chapter 6 and 7 and 8, because it all leads into the flood. We'll pick that up. Let's pray. Lord, Father, thank you that you counsel sinners, wanting to bring them back from their sin and to come back and to do what is right in your eyes. Thank you that you love sinners, that you love us. And thank you that you want us to walk with you. Cain certainly didn't walk with you. He didn't think you saw what he did, but Enoch wanted you to see everything. Help us to be like Enoch. Help us, and thank you that he's such a good example of Jesus in that. And we pray you'll help us by your Spirit to be more like Jesus, for your glory, for our growth, and that others may grow through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.